Good morning, everyone. We're glad to have all of you that are visiting with us today. Appreciate your being here. It's a joy to be able to worship and serve the Lord. Now, I appreciate this thing in the reading of the Scriptures, the good prayer, and the fact that we can all just pause for a little while in our lives, coming together to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, being able to look upon the Word of God, studying it together about the one who loved us, and cared for us, and gave his life that we might live forever. Brother Charlie Christopher has been sick for some time now. Talked to Betty just a little bit before I came to the church building, before we got here. Said, Betty, would you like for me to have a special prayer for Charlie today? He's one of our elders. He's a good man. Served the Lord. And we want him to get well. And we believe in prayer. And we believe it's God, if it's God's will, that we'll be able to see him. Sit right there on that front pew again. And I'm looking forward to him going back in the classroom, standing up there and teaching that class. God's will be done. God can do a lot. He told me last night, Charlie did. He said, Guy, where's that passage now that talks about Hezekiah? I said, it's in Isaiah 38. Oh, my friend, every one of those that are sick, we are concerned about you. And even though we may not mention you by name, in our personal prayers, we're praying for you. But in a special way, this morning we want to pray for Brother Charlie Christopher. He's one of our elders, overseers. He's sick, and we want him to get well. Who is the great physician? It is God. Would you bow your heads together as we go before God in prayer this morning for our dear brother in Christ. Eternal God, our Father, in whom we live and move and have our very being, you have taught us to bow before you, to praise you, and we want to do that. You have given the very best of heaven, and that is your Son, and we thank you for that. You have made us members of the Lord's church, which Jesus purchased with his own blood, and we thank you for that. And we pray that the kingdom of God can be extended to the world, that many, many others will be in the family of God with us, serving and working as you've taught us. One of our brothers is, as you know, very sick. And we pray, Father, as an elder, as a person who has served you, worked so hard, it is your will this morning that you will help him, that he may be encouraged, that he may be lifted up from the bed of affliction. If it's your will, restore him to his health and help him to come back and be with us at O'Neill. And for his dear family that's waiting on him and loves him so much, we thank you for the Christophers. They mean so much to this, the family of God. And we love them, and we pray and we beg you and plead with you today, if it is your will, to lengthen his life, let him get well. But we know your will is to be done. And we love you. And we know, Father, that you will do what is best. Bless all of our people, those who are crying today because they've lost loved ones. People who have experienced death in our congregation, their families and all. For everyone that's sick, we ask you to be with them and bless them. We thank you for hearing us. And we pray, our Father, thy will be done. Please forgive us all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. The sermon this morning is about the Lord's Supper. I was asked, if I would preach a sermon concerning the Lord's Supper, I look before you today and you can read very carefully on the front of that table, this do in remembrance of me. It makes a difference. What we do, how we do it, who does it, when we do it. All we need to do is to go to the Word of God. Paul was writing to the Corinthians, says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Stop and think about that. Can you imagine a congregation gathering and that congregation coming together not for betterment, but rather it's for the worse? Listen to what he says. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And you know what? I partly believe that. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. And when you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. And what? Don't you know? What is Paul talking about? He says, what, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? That's why you have houses. Why have you come together? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I tell you what, Paul said, I don't praise you in this. Listen, for I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Now, Paul is telling the order. Now, Paul is telling about something at Corinth that they need to understand. And he said, the night that Jesus took that bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Now look what he's saying. Here is bread, and this bread brings to your mind my body. And he tells them to eat there. We know he wasn't talking about his physical body. He's still in that physical body. He hadn't died yet. And yet he tells them, this bread brings to your mind my body, which is soon to be offered in sacrifice. And when he had given thanks, he broke and he said, now take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I don't know about you, but I have trouble sometimes when I'm eating the Lord's Supper. I want to concentrate on Jesus, but then my mind, if I'm not very carefully, it'll go on to something else. Maybe I just preached. Or maybe it's some idea or something else comes into my mind. I don't need to do that. I'm supposed to be thinking what? About what I'm doing. What am I doing? I'm breaking the bread. What is the breaking of the bread? What is this semblance of? The breaking of bread is remember his body. The body of whom? The body of Jesus. He goes on to say, he says, in the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. What he's saying is, my blood is going to be shed for the New Testament. And when you drink this fruit of the vine, you drink this cup, not the physical cup, but the contents. When you drink this cup, this do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. What am I to be doing when I'm breaking the bread? What am I to do whenever I'm drinking the fruit of the vine? I'm supposed to be remembering. Who am I supposed to be remembering? Not what I did yesterday. Not what I just preached. But what does the Bible say? This do in remembrance of me. Remember me. Who, Jesus? The Son of God. Why? Because the Son of God has died. And then he goes on to say, as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. It's a proclamation, as I shall point out in a few moments. It shows to the world that we really believe in Jesus. And we're talking about Jesus, about his body that he gave, his blood that was shed. Wherefore, whosoever should eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, and I'll talk about that in a minute, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to be among those people who cried out, crucify him, kill him, kill him. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, there's a way in which a person can eat and drink the Lord's Supper. And when he does so, when he does that unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Why? He doesn't discern the Lord's body. Listen to what else he says. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, eat what? The Lord's Supper. Not a meal. He's already told them you have houses to eat and to drink in. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Wait on one another. And then he says, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. I like that statement. Order, God's order. He always tells us what to do, how to do it, when to do it. And in order for us to be acceptable unto God, that's what we've got to do. Yes, when we turn to the Word of God in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. No wonder you read in Matthew 15, verse 9, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. The Lord's Supper. Who? The Lord. Who's to do something? His disciples. What are they to do? Eat the Lord's Supper. Let's notice some things. It's noted in the Bible as the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, when you come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. It's called the Supper of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 10, 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion? It's called what? The Lord's Supper. It's called the communion of the blood of Christ. And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? When you're eating it, are you not thinking about the body of Christ? And then we find in Acts 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Who they? Disciples. And then the Bible tells us, Matthew chapter 26, 26 through 27, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take ye, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink you all of it. The meaning of the Lord's Supper is the fact that we are to do it in remembrance of Jesus Christ. And then we find over in the Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. I'm talking to you about the Lord's Supper. I'm talking to you about Jesus. I'm talking to you today about someone who deserves your full attention, your concentration, your every bit that you have, everything you have in your heart and your mind, to remember how that Jesus suffered. And He suffered and died. Died on the cross. He shed His blood. He cried out, Father, Father, why hast Thou forsaken me? The Son of... I'm talking to you about Jesus. When we eat the bread, when we drink the cup, why are we doing this? It's because of Jesus. He means so much to us. It's a memorial to Him. We eat the bread in memory of His body, and we drink the cup, the fruit of the vine, in memory of His blood. Why? He said, this do in remembrance of me. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, it proclaims to everybody that we really believe in Jesus. And we believe with all of our hearts that Jesus died, and He died for us. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. I don't want to miss it. If I can be there, I want to be there with saints of God who gather together, and that gathering together is so that they may remember Jesus Christ. We proclaim our faith that His death was for our sins. We proclaim our faith that He is, that He shall come again. Yes, it's communion. In the dictionary, you find communion as an active instance of sharing, an intimate fellowship. No wonder Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion? Communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we are many, are one bread and one body, for we're all partakers of that one bread. No difference, we're all one. When we eat and drink together, no wonder John tells us, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood, Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You want to be there. You want to do it. It's doing that which is a memorial to Christ. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The observance of the Lord's Supper is so important. Paul says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread. Now think about that. You're eating the bread. And drink this cup of the Lord. You're eating the bread. You're drinking the cup. But you do it in an unworthy manner. That word, unworthily, is an adverb. It's not what people sometimes think of. I'm not worthy to do what? To eat thereof. Nobody will ever be worthy. You come before God, and the Bible tells us in the King James Version it is used, some have misunderstood that as being describing your personal worth. No, it's talking about the manner in which you do it. It's talking, my friend, about what? The fact that we are to hold reverence in our hearts and to do exactly as God has told us, to keep our focus on Jesus, whom we are remembering. And that's why when I sit there by hand and they bring me the bread and I break off a piece of bread, may God help me ever be like the young man that I was told of in the congregation one time. He broke off the bread and threw it up like this and caught it in his mouth. How can anybody be so disrespectful to the one who gave himself for us? Yes, I'm talking about drinking the cup. What am I remembering? Not me. I'm not ever going to be worthy. I'm remembering the one that is, the one who did die, and I'm remembering my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. When I break that bread, when I drink that cup, I do it in remembrance of Christ. Listen to what Paul says. We should be reflecting upon our own spiritual condition. Notice it. But let a man examine himself. Let a man look at himself before you eat and drink this cup. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. God wants us to individually examine ourselves. Look, you're not worthy, but you're doing it in a worthy manner. Because you're doing what? You're doing this to the glory of God. Surely we accept the grace of God and His wonderful love upon us. And we know, because He died, we can live forever. Paul told the Galatians in Galatians 2 in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. When you examine yourself, are you saying that? I'm dead to myself. Paul said it, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Does He live in you? Does He live in me? Can the world see us as being people dedicated to Him? When you eat this bread and you drink this cup, do I remember the one who is the Son of God and truly eat in a manner which will be acceptable unto God? The Bible speaks of sinning willfully. In Hebrews 10, 26 through 29, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment shall you be, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant? What? Wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite under the Spirit of grace. Have we trodden underfoot the Son of God by not taking the Lord's Supper in a manner that is expected of us? In Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6, listen. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, and were partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God, and put Him to an open shame. Do we, by refusing to repent of our sins, crucify to ourselves the Son of God afresh, and put Him to an open shame? We know what to do with our sins. In the blood of Christ, we can have forgiveness. But if we reject it, we do not walk in His way. No wonder, my friends, that God tells us there can be no forgiveness because we crucify the Son of God afresh and we put Him to an open shame. The early disciples came together when upon the first day of the week. Oh, how wonderful there's a first day in every week, and truly the time to take the Lord's Supper is with disciples of Christ upon the first day of the week. In Matthew 18, verse 20, remember, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. And in conclusion, how often do we observe the Lord's Supper? Why? Well, the obvious answer in Acts 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart from tomorrow, and continued his speech. And they came together and went up on the first day of the week. There's a first day in every week. And so therefore, that's when we do it. When? Upon the first day of the week. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the church at Corinth was coming together to eat the Lord's Supper, though they were abusing it. And now He's corrected them. God told it very distinctly that they were to do it right, following the divine approved example of the first day of the week observance. Yes, surely. In conclusion this morning, We want to eat the bread, drink the cup, the first day of the week, to remember whom? Jesus Christ. In just a few moments, you will have that privilege. The bread and the cup. This do, Jesus said, in remembrance of me. May God help us to truly appreciate what Jesus did for us. That's why, in conclusion this morning, if you're not a Christian, why not now obey the gospel? Be forgiven of your sins as you're baptized into Christ. And if you're a Christian, you haven't lived faithfully in the service of the Lord, ask God to forgive you. He's promised to forgive you. He will forgive you. And then serve God and serve Him faithfully from this day forward. Because soon we'll be meeting the Lord face to face. Are you a Christian? If you're not, become one. And if you're a fallen away Christian, you need to come to Jesus. He loved you. He died that excruciating death because of you, because of me, for all sinners. We're singing this beautiful hymn, Prepare. Are you ready? Come now, won't you, and obey Jesus while together we stand.